We're not offended by the Word of God, are we, around here? We love the Word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul said in the last days, evil folks had come to deceive us. Amen? And we live in the last days. I'm going to read to you. You're going to Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to read something to you here, if I may, and starting out. Hallelujah. I'm going to name some names tonight of necessity. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to read to you. You're in Galatians 6. I'm going to read to you Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. You can put it in your notes. Amen? It says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Paul said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That word is actually expose them. Paul said that it's the job of a pastor and a believer to expose the fruitless works of darkness. Amen? Titus said in Titus, let's go here, I'll go to chapter 3, verse 10. Titus chapter 3 says, a man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject him or her, knowing that he that is such, or heretic, is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Paul said, if someone's a heretic, we are to admonish them one or two times. If they don't receive the word of correction, we are to reject them. Amen? If they don't accept the correction, they get the rejection. Amen? Hallelujah. And Paul told the Ephesians that we are to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. Amen? I asked you to go to Galatians chapter 6. We're going to get there in a minute. But I'm going to start out by saying to you that Rick Warren, the author of The Purpose-Driven Life, has anyone heard of that book, The Purpose-Driven Life? They call it PDL. Well, Rick Warren, he's a pastor of a church of 28,000 people. Amen? And himself and another man named Bill Hybels, who's the pastor of Willow Creek Community Church in Colorado, 14,000 people in that church, they signed a letter with 138 Islamic leaders, Muslim clerics and Islamic leaders. They signed a letter calling for Christian leaders and Islamic leaders to unify the Abrahamic faiths. That's a quote. To unify the Abrahamic faiths. And in doing so, they're calling for the emergence of Islam and Christianity. Did you hear that? Oh my gosh, that's the proper response. Amen. Now, he's been rebuked for this multiple times, that he's not receiving the correction. He's going deeper, and he's going deeper into it. He's not only getting involved in wanting to unify Muslims and Christians into one common God for the common good. You need to write this down. He's getting involved in the emerging church. I'm going to give you some buzzwords and some titles here tonight. You're going to want to put them in your notes, get acquainted with them, and avoid these doctrines at all costs. They're creeping. They're here on Cape Cod. And the devil desires to creep into our lives with them, and we're not going to tolerate it. Amen? Coming in primarily through the glory of God on Cape Cod movement. Amen? The emerging church, you're going to want to watch out for it. The emerging church is combining occult practices in prayer with Christianity. They're combining occult, they're taking the teachings of Thomas Merton, the occult author, and incorporating them into Christian teaching. Calling it all one and the same. You want to watch out for the emerging church. You want to watch out for contemplative spirituality. This stuff's hot right now, whether anybody in this room knows it or not. This stuff is real big, worldwide, across the board, amongst Christian leaders. Contemplative spirituality. They're incorporating incense, mantras, chanting mantras, meditation, opening themselves up, they say, to the Holy Spirit, but they're opening themselves up to the devil and doctrines of demons. Amen? They also follow after the teachings of Thomas Merton. So you want to watch out for the emerging church. You want to watch out for contemplative spirituality. And you want to listen for words like ecumenical unity. ecumenical councils and pastors and evangelical pastors coming together with other religious leaders who don't believe in Jesus Christ, that sacrificing the blood of Jesus for the sake of unity. Amen? Now, this is all being recorded. This is a lot I'm putting on you, I know. But you just want to watch out for the emerging church. You want to watch out for contemplative spirituality. You want to watch out for ecumenical unity. You want to watch out for the transformation movement. You'll want to write that down. Share that with your friends. When you see that word, beware. Amen. The global day of prayer is involving themselves with the transformation movement. And they believe that they can bring the kingdom of God back into the earth in these last days before Jesus comes. They can do it for Him. That's basically what the global day of prayer is all about. Amen? It's all about, how do I say it? For the most part, universalism. We don't need the blood of Jesus. I don't know why they believe, if we don't need the blood of Jesus, that through unity and transformational prayer and the pulling down of strongholds, they can set the world up for the coming of Jesus for the second. They're so confused, they don't even know what it is that they believe. You want to watch out for them. They're very popular across the board right now, worldwide. Watch, if you see that word transformation, amen, give them one of these. Make the sign of the cross with your finger. Get away from it, amen. It's deception, it's universalism at its core. Amen? God is in all things. God is all things. Amen? Everybody's going to heaven. Nobody needs the blood. Jesus isn't the only way to God. It's right here on the Cape. It's this evangelical fellowship of pastors here on Cape Cod that are conducting, well, they say that they're conducting the Glory of God movement on Cape Cod. They're not conducting it. There's one man, a professional man, a doctor. His name is Mahmoud Riyad. He's the head of that movement, and it's not God. Amen? So I'm giving you some buzzwords and some keywords here tonight in case you hadn't heard them before. You want to watch out for them. Listen, folks around the world, reputable ministries are being deceived by these teachings. This is, very simply put, it's combining occult practices with the Word of God and calling it Christian. And it's not Christian. Amen? InterVarsity Christian Fellowship is buying into it. Campus Crusade for Christ. Brother Bill Bright has passed on now and gone to heaven. The devil's gotten a hold of his ministry. It's not the same ministry anymore. YWAM, Youth With a Mission, Brother Lauren Cunningham has passed away, gone on to heaven, and these people are buying into occult practices, poisoning the minds of youth worldwide. YWAM can't be trusted anymore. Amen. InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, can't trust them anymore. Hallelujah. Who? The Golden Calf is exactly right. Amen? What's the name of the other one? Bill Bright's ministry, Campus Crusade for Christ. They're all getting into it. Well, we ain't getting into it around here. Amen? We're sticking with the blood. Amen? Rick Warren's involved in almost all of these. Rick Warren's book is owned by Rupert Murdoch. That book, Purpose Driven Life. I never wanted to read that book because I don't like to read after authors who don't believe in the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Who wants to listen to someone who calls himself a teacher who won't listen to the teacher, who rejects the teacher? The Holy Spirit's our teacher. Amen. So we always push that thing away from us. We just don't. I'm not putting them down. Amen. Born again people going to heaven, their brethren, brothers and sisters in the Lord. But I don't like to listen to teachers who won't listen to the teacher. So I've always pushed that book away from me. Amen. But I've been looking into it lately, and I've been looking into some things that he's been teaching and preaching lately, reading transcripts from television appearances and such. That book, Purpose Driven Life, is owned by Rupert Murdoch, who owns the Fox News Network. He owns that book, Purpose Driven Life. Rupert Murdoch owns multiple translations of the Bible. He's a heathen. He's not a believer in Jesus Christ, but he'll publish Christian books for profit, amen, such as he's doing with Purpose Driven Life. He owns multiple translations of the Bible, and he's in the process now of taking the word salvation out of certain Bibles, taking the blood out of other Bibles, taking the name of Jesus out of other Bibles. Rick Warren, our brother in the Lord, has sold himself out to this man. Amen? Now let me just tell you something else about Rick. I told you that he's calling for the emergence of Islam and Christianity. Jesus said he's coming to separate the sheep and the goats, not to bring them together for common good. Amen? We need to know this. Brother Rick and Brother Bill Hybels, his close friend, pastor of Willow Creek Community Church in Colorado, they're saying, Jesus, we got a better plan. We got a better way to go, Jesus. We're going to merge the sheep and the goats because after all, we're all children of Abraham. We all serve the same God. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't serve Allah. Do you serve Allah? Is Jesus the son of Allah? Rick Warren is teaching that it's all the same, Christianity in Islam. He said we all serve the same God. Abraham's our father. Listen, we don't all serve the same God. Allah is a false God. He's a made-up God by a false prophet named Muhammad, who didn't ascend to heaven. Amen? Our God is the real God. We always tell folks, my God made your God. Amen? Hallelujah. We don't believe that Allah is our God or the Father of Jesus. Listen, God said in Isaiah 43:10, there is no other God besides me. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm shouting tonight, aren't I? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Allah is imagined a false God created by a false prophet. Amen? Hallelujah. Listen to what Jesus said in James 4:4. You get these scriptures tonight. He said, friendship with the world is enmity with God. The friendship with the world. Making friends with Muslims who don't believe in Jesus, that's making friends with the world. That's the world. Amen? And the Bible says that's enmity with God. Whoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What about these scriptures? Brother Rick has forgotten these scriptures, or he never knew them. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus said, he that's not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. I'm going to tell you something else, Rick Warren. I read in the transcript from his Fox interview. This is what he said. He said, peaceful relations between Christians and Muslims is the central challenge of this century. Peaceful relations between Christians and Muslims is the central challenge, this is a quote, of this century. He's telling us that unity between Christians and Muslims is our biggest challenge for the next 100 years. It is? I thought preaching Christ between now and the time he comes is our biggest challenge. I thought the Great Commission was our greatest challenge between now and the time that Jesus comes. Amen? I thought preaching Christ and him crucified to every hell-bound human being, including Muslims, is the central challenge of our lives for the next 100 years if Jesus tarries. Not unity with unbelievers. Hallelujah. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't say go into all the world and preach Rick and Bill's new idea. He didn't say go into all the world and preach Beavis and Butthead's new idea. It needs to be said. Amen? It's that obnoxious. It's that ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's ludicrous. Amen? He said, preach the gospel. Amen? He said, go therefore into all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. He didn't say go preach unity to Muslims. He didn't say go preach let's all get along for the sake of getting along. He didn't say sit down with Bill and Rick and smoke a peace pipe and exchange names and why can't we be friends? It's not what he said. He said go and preach the gospel. Amen. These people are going to hell. Jesus told us what to preach. He said, nay, unless you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Do you believe that? I know that you do. Amen. I got more scriptures for you here. Amen. Rick and Bill have abandoned the gospel for a better way. They want to create a common God for the common good, which they believe is for the common good. They're preaching peace at all costs, even at the cost of the lives of millions of Muslims who are going to hell on a grease pole, and they don't care about that. They care about unity over the next 100 years. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't come to create a common God for the common good. He didn't come to unify Christians and Muslims. Listen to what he said in Matthew chapter 10. You'll write this down in your notes. 34. Think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. Rick and Bill. We can insert Rick and Bill's name in there. Amen. I came not to send peace, but to bring a sword. I am come to set a man at variance against his father, the daughter against the mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He said, I came to bring division. Some people are going to believe in Christ, some people are not. That causes division. We don't come together, make up a common God for a common good for the sake of the unity, and blow off the gospel. That's what Rick is doing, amen. It's not what the Apostle Paul did, it's not what Jesus did, amen. Jesus came to separate those who believe in Him from those who don't, amen. He didn't come to unify us with some flaky vision of world peace. I'm fired up, amen. There's only one person who's going to benefit from a common God for the common good. Only one person. You know who that is? The Antichrist. That's what Rick and Bill are doing. They're setting things up to make things easy for the Antichrist when he gets here. A common God for the common good sounds like one world religion to me. That's what they're preaching. And you need to know it. You need to avoid Rick and Bill the same way that you avoid Beavis and Butthead. You don't watch Beavis and Butthead on TV, do you? You shouldn't listen to Rick and Bill preaching because they've forsaken the gospel. And Paul said those who forsake the gospel, expose them. Expose them. That's how Jesus dealt with heretics. He dealt with them directly, He dealt with them harshly, and He dealt with them swiftly. No coffee and donuts. No call them off to the side. When Jesus told Peter, I'm getting ready to go to the cross to pay for the sins of humanity, Peter said, I'm not letting you go, Jesus. Did Jesus say, oh, Petey, brother Petey, come on now, Petey, you don't know what you're saying. You know what He said? Get thee behind me, Satan. You don't know what you're saying. He rebuked Satan in the man. Amen? Rick Warren's been warned. He's been approached by multiple ministers. He's not listening. So you need to stop listening to him if you have been listening to him. Amen? Hundreds, if not thousands of pastors right now are brokenhearted for having followed him. And many of them don't have the brass to stand up before their congregations and tell them, I missed it by teaching you his teachings. By trying to grow a mega church, I let that man deceive me. Their ministries are hanging in the balance and they're ashamed to stand before their congregations and say, everything I've been teaching you from Rick Warren in the past 4 or 5 years is wrong. But pastors, what pastors need to be doing. Anybody who's been involved with Rick Warren in any way needs to repent. Any ministry leader who's been involved with him in any way needs to repent before their congregation. Hallelujah. Get the CD. Amen. People don't like this. Amen. Hallelujah. These are strong words, I know. But this is how Jesus dealt with heretics. Amen. It doesn't make you popular when you reprimand popular religious leaders for unbiblical, demon-inspired ideas. They silence you. They shun you. They slander you. They marginalize you. They come in storming into your services telling lies about you and your wife. But that's what they did in Jesus' day, isn't it? Isn't that what they did to Jesus? If Jesus was married, they'd have some harsh things to say about his wife. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus went after heretics with the Word of God and he let them have it. It's called good shepherding. Amen? Keeping the wolves away from the sheep and letting the wolves know every time you come back, this is what you're going to get. Amen? Hallelujah. People griping to me because I responded to what, well, those folks, the Santangelos, I've recently responded and sent out over 60 emails to people who we believe got those 100 letters that they passed out defaming me. Amen? People, instead of people coming to me and saying, you know, it's about time you did that. You gave them 7 months to repent. The pastor who lied to them about you repented 3 months ago, and they know it. He called them and told them that he lied to them, and they still haven't repented. No, people are getting a hold of us and telling us we're wrong for publicly rebuking the Santangelos for what they came in this service and did. Taking sides with the devil. Rebuking us for taking it. Well, it's just because they don't know the Word of God. They're trying to walk with God apart from His Word. Amen? But this is how you do it. This is how Jesus handled heretics. Amen? Listen, Colossians 2:8. You put that in your notes. Paul told the Colossians, beware lest any man should spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And that's what I'm doing here tonight, making sure that no one deceives you after the traditions of man, after the rudiments of the world, and after demonic principalities and powers and doctrines of demons. Amen? Because that's what this man is putting out. That's what the emerging church is putting out. That's what contemplative spirits, you're going to be hearing about it. Maybe you haven't heard about it yet, but it's coming fast and it's coming furious. Amen? It's taken over major ministries who aren't keeping themselves in tune to the Holy Spirit through prayer and by staying in the Word of God. It's coming. It's already here. I'm going to say it again. The glory of God on Cape Cod is submitting themselves to the transformation movement. They're teaching, they're submitting themselves to contemplative spirituality through the International House of Prayer out of Kansas City. My job right here as a pastor on Cape Cod, whether there be few or many in these services, to stand up and tell you these things. You can pass it along to your friends. Amen. Watch out! Hallelujah. It's poison. Amen. Beloved, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Amen? Anybody who comes with these doctrines wanting to push them off on you, give them a blood test. Give them a blood test. That's the only way you can tell if they're infected or not. Ask them outright, where do you stand on the blood of Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to God? Do you believe that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins? Just ask them straight out. If they won't answer you, avoid them like the plague. If the answer is no, avoid them like the plague. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm more than glad to do the job. Amen? Hallelujah. I do it willingly. Amen? God said expose them. Paul said expose them by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Titus said to rebuke heretics. This is heresy. Amen? Everybody's familiar with the purpose-driven life? Amen? Oh, man, I hear nothing but good things about it. For years, I've been hearing nothing but good things. But lately, as I've begun to do research and get hooked up with some other ministers, everybody needs to read the... Now, I'm not agreeing with everything about this person, but you go online, read the readings of Paul Proctor. He will help you tremendously with the emerging church, the contemplative spirituality, interspirituality, Rick Warren and Bill Hybels. He's an amazingly anointed and intelligent man and an able communicator. His name is Paul Proctor. You can hook up with his writings over at a website called LighthouseTrails.com. I'd encourage you to get over there. Now, I'm not condoning everything that's over at LighthouseTrails.com. I don't agree with everything that's over there, and they wouldn't agree with everything about me. But they're doing a good job exposing these occult movements coming into the church and calling it Christianity. These folks, this man and his wife, that LighthouseTrails.com, doing a marvelous job making these things clear for the body. Amen? Whosoever transgresseth, 2 John 1, 9-11. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. You hear that? No Christ, no God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive them not into your house, neither bid them Godspeed. When they come to your door, offering it to you, just tell them, no thank you, but don't tell them God bless you as you go. Don't bless them. Don't tell them God bless you. Don't tell them good luck. Tell them take a hike. Tell them repent. Amen? Do not wish him Godspeed. This is what the Apostle Paul said. Do not wish them Godspeed, for in doing so, you become partaker of their evil deeds. Listen closely for the word transformation. It's recycled universalism is all it is. And they deny Christ. The glory of God on Cape Cod have aligned themselves with these teachings through Rhonda Huey and George Otis Jr. You ought to write those names down. Look at them online. See what they believe. They'll blow you away. Amen? They consider themselves to be Christians. I understand George Otis Jr.'s father, George Otis, used to be a wonderful man of God. He's passed away now. Had a ministry out of Florida, a radio station, was an itinerant minister. Wonderful things for God. But something happened to his boy. He doesn't believe in the blood of Jesus. Amen? And you need to know, because we're here on Cape Cod. But I'm not up here tonight hammering on the glory of God in Cape Cod. We're trying to pastor a church on Cape Cod in the midst of this unbelief, in the midst of these seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And you need to know who it is that the devil's using here on Cape Cod. This Evangelical Fellowship of Ministers, they're buying into this garbage. They don't even know what it is. Amen? They don't even know what it is that they're doing. Their number one mistake, the Evangelical Fellowship of Ministers on Cape Cod, their number one mistake is they don't have a pastor, a ministry office over them. They have a doctor, a layman, telling the ministers what to do. And he's all goofed up with Rhonda Huey and George Otis Jr. in the International House of Prayer in Kansas City. And they're all submitting to him because he's got money, prestige, influence. I said to you before, I'm not harping, I'm preaching. There's a difference. Amen? I'm not giving a lecture. Amen? Harping and lecture, you don't get scripture. Preaching, you get scripture from the Word of God. Amen? God doesn't work from the bottom up, through doctors and lawyers and then apostles and prophets and then the Holy Spirit and God. He works from the top down. God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists and teachers, professional people under there. These folks get it backwards. Amen. This is how the devil gets in with seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Amen. Common sense tells you a layperson should not be appointed to direct the ministers. Ministers work directly for God. You get anything out of this tonight? Oh, so many listen, Rick Warren is trying to push off on believers for profit something that's a little more flexible and a little more entertaining. He has gone over the precipice and he now abides in the land of Tralali. I'm not saying you can't pray him back. I'm not saying there's not hope for him. I'm telling you, he's made a decision for profit to deceive the body of Christ. He's refused to repent because it would cost him too much. Amen? He'll be gone from the scene soon. He won't last long, but in the meantime, we need to be alerted to these people. Amen? Hallelujah. We need to be alerted to these doctrines. Amen? And as I said, it's not all he's guilty of. He's involved in contemplative spirituality, Christian mysticism, combining occult practices with Christian prayer. You know what else he did? May I share this with you? I'm not ratting Rick out. I'm ratting out the doctrine. He had a meeting with the Syrian president, who's one of the biggest Christian oppressors of our day. He murders Christians. Well, Rick didn't have anything to say to the Syrian president about the way he murders Christians. He didn't have a word to say about how he harbors terrorists who come against Israel. He didn't have a word to say about the weapons of mass destruction that are being hidden in Syria. He didn't have a word to say about any of the weapons that come out of Iran and Iraq into Syria and go into Gaza for bombing Israel. He didn't have a word to say. He wanted to know how he could help the president of Syria get his message out. How can we unify Christians and Muslims? That's what he wanted to know. President of Syria. Now he thinks he's a politician. And then he went to ACT UP. Does anybody know what ACT UP is? ACT UP is a homosexual group who they say we're united in anger to kill the AIDS curse in the earth. They're the cause of AIDS, and they're going to be the cure of AIDS. They united in anger. Rick Warren has recently gone to the head of ACT UP, a homosexual man, and he said to him, "What can I do to help you get your message out in the name of peace and unity?" And you know what the man told him? Use your moral influence. Use your moral influence and help Christians to understand that homosexuality, there's nothing wrong with it. How can I help you get your message out in the name of peace? What about Christ? We need to be alerted to Rick Warren. Amen? We need to be alerted. There's pastors all over this country just like me standing up tonight doing something similar. And they'll continue to do so until this infection is eradicated. It needs to come out at the roots. Amen? Listen right here what Paul said in Galatians chapter 6. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That felt good. I have to tell you, it felt good to get that out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I'm glad it's recorded and we'll distribute the CDs. Amen. Hallelujah. You're there in Galatians chapter 6. We're going to have to go through these quickly, but we can do it. And this is good. Amen. You're going to want to put this in the hands of some of your friends. Paul said in Galatians 6:14, he said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross, except for anything but the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Paul said, if I may, of all the things in my life that I could glory about, I glory only in the cross of Jesus. Paul could glory about revelations he's had of Jesus. Jesus appearing to him and giving him revelation for the 14 epistles that he wrote. He could glory in the fact that Jesus came and visited him, but he didn't. He could glory in the fact that he even went to heaven, he said, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He went to heaven and had visitations of Jesus in revelation that we read in the New Testament. He didn't glory about that. He didn't glory about Jesus' sinless birth. He didn't glory virgin birth. He didn't glory in Jesus' sinless life. He didn't glory in Jesus' vicarious sacrifice on the cross. He didn't glory about Jesus' supernatural resurrection. He said, I glory about one thing and one thing only, the cross. The bloody cross of Christ. He says, the only thing I glory in. It was the only thing Paul gloried in. It's the only thing we should glory in. Paul didn't glory in contemplative spirituality. He didn't glory in inter-spirituality. He didn't glory in the common God for the common good. Did he? He gloried in the cross. And we need the cross as the center of the gospel. Amen? We need to stick with the cross. Amen? Not these fads that come and go, allowing people to go to hell. Amen? Paul gloried in the cross. Number one, you can write this down. I'll go through these quickly. Reasons why I see Paul gloried in the cross. Oh, the cross, hallelujah. It was a painful, horribly humiliating, shameful experience for Jesus, and Paul gloried in it. Amen. He gloried in the cross because the cross reveals the severity of sin and the goodness of God. The severity of sin and the goodness of God. He looked at the cross. He saw Jesus bearing all the sins of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. These teachers, these false teachers, are teaching there's no need for the cross anymore. There's no need for the blood. We can come together in unity apart from Christ and make the world a better place to live. Amen? John 3:17 says that Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved through Him. That's why Paul gloried in the cross. Amen? Everybody in this room knows what sin is. We've all committed sin in thought and word and in deed. Amen? We've all sinned. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When we sin, it affects our souls. It affects our relationship with God. It affects our bodies. It affects our circumstances. It affects every realm of our existence. But Jesus is reaching out. God is reaching out through the cross of Christ and saying, I fixed all that. You don't have to suffer in those areas anymore. I fixed all that through my Son. By allowing my Son to die on that cross, God is saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, and I fixed all that so you can have fellowship with me. Amen? Hallelujah. Paul gloried in the cross. Amen? We don't have to be separated from God anymore. Amen? Don't have to be a slave to sickness anymore. Don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. Amen? Hallelujah. When Christ comes into your heart, He breaks the chains of sin. And that's why Paul said in Romans 6:4, sin shall no more have dominion over you. All because of the cross. All because of what Jesus did on the cross. Amen. Number two, the cross reveals the love of God. The cross reveals the love of God. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. When we were still His enemy, He died for us. What will He do for us now that we're His family? How much more will He do for us? When we were sinners and His enemy, He died for us. How much more will He do for us now that we're friends, and not just friends, but family? Hallelujah. That Paul gloried in the cross because it reveals the love of God. Amen. Christ says, I love you. I forgive you. Just come to me through Jesus and find mercy for your sins. Amen. It's God's way of saying, I love you. I allowed my son to pay for your sins because no price was too great to get you back. Hallelujah. That's why Paul gloried in the cross. Amen. Adam sinned in the garden. Eve sinned in the garden. We don't have a whole lot of time to cover these points because it's almost time to go home now. Amen. But hallelujah. God said in Genesis 2:15 through 17, He told Adam, don't you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you do, you'll become separated from me. Well, he did. Adam and Eve did. They disobeyed God. They became separated from God. And the justice of God, two of God's greatest attributes are His justice and His mercy. The justice of God said, punish, or they'll never take me seriously. But the mercy of God said, forgive. Or they'll run from me every time they get in trouble. Justice said punish. Mercy said forgive. What was God going to do? Well, fortunately, His justice and His mercy are His two greatest attributes. His greatest attribute is love. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll go down there myself and I'll pay the penalty for that sin. That way, every time somebody accepts it, Jesus' sacrifice in that place, justice will be served because sin's been punished, and mercy will be satisfied because I can just forgive them and let them go. The justice of God and the mercy of God was satisfied in the love of God. Does that sound like a God of wrath to anybody in this room? Hallelujah. Well, we couldn't fix for ourselves. God fixed for us. Amen. Paul gloried in the cross because the cross reveals the love of God. Amen. Paul gloried in the cross because the cross is the only way of salvation, and the devil knows it. And that's why he's bringing around these false doctrines, seducing spirits and doctrines of demons and occult practices, mingling them in with Christianity. It's like mixing manure with ice cream. Amen. It does wonders for the manure, but there goes the ice cream. Amen. Hallelujah. Proverbs, cross is the only way of salvation. That's why Paul, another reason Paul gloried in the cross. Amen. Proverbs 16:25 says, this is a way that seems right unto a man. All these things sound right to dull and dumb Christians who are ignorant of the Word of God, contemplative spirituality, interspirituality, occult practices being mixed in with Christians. They don't know the difference. It all seems good to them, Proverbs, because they won't submit to pastors and teachers. Number one, that's how the body of Christ is in so much trouble. They don't have respect for the ministry officers. You see it right here. There's no respect for the apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, and teacher. They all want to go out there and do it independently, on their own, without submitting, and that's why they're in the mess they're in. I'm going and blowing tonight, aren't I? Hallelujah. Proverbs 16:25, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Amen. So many false religions and cults out there today. So many sects that people follow, but they all lead to damnation. Jesus said in John 14:6, He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's the boldest statement ever made by any living human being. Amen. And that's what he was. He's a human being. Fully man, but fully God. Don't get me wrong. Amen. He said in Matthew 7:13 and 14, hallelujah, you're going to want to get this CD and put it in the hands of some of your deceived friends so that you don't have to tell them they're deceived. I can be the one doing it. Amen. You're deceived if you're listening to me on the CD or on radio or on television or on the internet, and you've been involved with contemplative spirituality, interspirituality, the emerging church, the writings of Thomas Merton. He's become so popular in Christian circles, youth groups, by the youth pastor, given the writings of Thomas Merton to the youth. He's an occult practitioner. Hallelujah. So whoever gave you this CD, you needed it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Now they can't come after you for giving it to them. Tell them, come after me. I said it, not you. Amen. It's God's Word anyway. Matthew 7, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in there. Thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Amen. If you want to go to hell, there's thousands of ways to get there. Make that millions. Amen. The Hindus in India believe in multiple millions of gods. Where do you start when you're in trouble? Which god do you go to? You go to the drop-down menu and 3.5 million gods come up. Who do you hook up with? There's millions of ways to go to hell. There's only one way to go to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father without going directly through me. You can't go over me, under me, around me. You got to go through me to get to the Father. That's good preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. There's only one way. It's God's way. His name is Jesus. Acts 4:12, you can put it in your notes. The salvation under no other name, offered under no other, under heaven, in no other name. The salvation offered in no other name under heaven except for the name of Jesus. Amen. We need to know this. We need to get back to this. This is why Paul gloried on the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. Real quick, number four, the cross means you'll never be the same. The cross means that you'll never be the same. We'll close it out here in a few minutes. We're doing okay. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The devil wants to eradicate this revelation. Amen. God wipes away our entire past when we come to Him through Jesus, no matter what we've done. And He allows us to start over brand new. That's why Peter said, in 2 Peter 2:2, he said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of God's Word. Newborn babes, you come to Christ, you become a brand new babe in Christ with no past. Babies don't have a past. We don't have a past. Amen. This is an amazing and an astounding revelation. Our human spirits are actually miraculously recreated in Christ when we come to God through Him. That's why Ezekiel, I believe, 36:25 says, I will take your old spirit out and I'll put a new spirit in. You become a brand new creation that never existed before. That's miraculous. That's amazing. That's a revelation that the devil doesn't want out there anymore. Amen. That's why he's pushing these false doctrines the way that he is, particularly on our youth. Amen. Not only do we become brand new creations in Christ who never existed before with no past, no sin God's holding against us for any reason, the Bible says we become, if we're children of God, we become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Romans 8:16-17. And that word joint heirs means participants in common. That doesn't mean everything Jesus has is 50% His and 50% ours. Everything we have is 50% His, ours and 50% His. It says participants in common. Everything Jesus has in this earth is 100% His and 100% ours. That's what it means to be joint heirs with Jesus. And we can use our faith. We have the right to use our faith and the name of Jesus to pull from the heavenly realm into this earth realm everything that we have need of. These are the doctrines and the revelations that Satan is using this spiritual hooey to try to push out of the way. And that's why we're reestablishing ourselves in some things here tonight, amen. God gives us power to become. He takes us from the dunghill and actually turns us into prince and princesses. Amen. That's miraculous. Doesn't sound like wrath to me. Sounds like a God of love. He gives us power over Satan, power over sickness, power over poverty, power to pray and receive answers and miracles. Hallelujah. That's something to glory about. Finally, Paul gloried in the cross because the cross guarantees eternal life. Amen. You know, before we go on to that, I'm just impressed to say at this point, if you've been dealing with fear, if you've been dealing with depression, as you're writing down, the cross guarantees eternal life. That's the last point I'm going to make with you. But I'm impressed to make this point before we go there to close. If you have been dealing with depression, if you have been dealing with fear, if you've been dealing with thoughts of suicide, you need to know that if you've been dealing with grief, you need to know that all those things are curses of the law. Found in, write it down, Deuteronomy 28. Chapter 28, verse 28 and verse 65 through 67. It's all dealt with right there. Deuteronomy 28, verse 28 and verse 65 through 67. If you've been dealing with thoughts of suicide, you need to go over there also and read Mark chapter 9 where Jesus addressed suicide as a spirit. You need to address it as a spirit. And you need to tell the spirit of suicide to go in Jesus' strong name and don't come back round. Listen. Christ hath redeemed you from the curse of the law. You're a new creation that never existed before. You don't have to put up with grief. You don't have to put up with sorrow. You don't have to put up with fear. You don't have to put up with suicide. Those four things I'm impressed to share with you tonight. Christ hath redeemed you from the curse of the law. Deuteronomy chapter 28 lists all those things as curses of the law. Christ bore those on the cross for you. You have authority over them, and you need to use your authority and break their stronghold off your own life. Amen? Stop this! Pastor, you need to understand. Mama died this time of the year. And this time of the year, I go into a period of grieving and sorrow for 30 to 45 days. You just need... No, I don't have to understand. You need to understand that grief and sorrow and depression and suicide are curses of the law. And Christ hath redeemed you from the curse of the law. Having been made a curse for you, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon you in abundance. I don't have to understand anything. You need to understand that those are curses that have no place in your life. Rise up, mamas in heaven, and rejoice. Amen. Thank God you're still alive. Amen. The Bible says there's more hope for a living dog than a dead lion. If there's still breath in your lungs, there's hope for you. Hope to live a life of joy. Hope to live a life free from sorrow and grief. And hope to live a life of power. But you've got to stand up and do something about it. Stop letting the devil tell you, on mama's anniversary, you've got to go down for 6 weeks, honey. No, you don't. You need to rise up, honey. Amen. We all deal with death. We all deal with the loss of loved ones. Amen. I refuse to grieve. Thomas Jefferson. I'm not preaching Jefferson, and I'm not a Jeffersonian, and it's almost time to go here. But you know what that man? He was an extremely intelligent man. He said, I've been pretty much able to figure out everything, to find an answer to every question I've had in life, but one. He said this at the end of his life. He's 75 or 76 years old. There's only one question I've never been able to get an answer to in all my years on the earth. What is the purpose of grief? I heard that and I thought, I got the answer. There is no purpose. It's of the devil. Amen? Now it comes, but it goes. Amen? When it comes, tell it to go. Now, it's okay to grieve temporarily over a loved one. We're sorrowful for our loss, but we can't be sorrowful for their gain. Get over it. There is no purpose for grief other than the devil wanting to use it to destroy you and bring you to an early end. So I just said all that by the Spirit of God, and you'll just have to excuse my exuberance and my loudness. It's just part of my mystique. Final point. God... The cross guarantees eternal. We're talking about why Paul gloried. Of all the things he could have gloried in, he gloried in the cross. The cross guarantees eternal life. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Whether you realize it or not, this is a very good sermon. It might hit you when you get home. Amen? Hallelujah. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the core of Christianity, and it's under attack all over the world, including this little peninsula we live on. The core of Christianity is under attack. The cross of Jesus Christ. The cross guarantees eternal life. 1 John 5:11. This is the record that God hath given to us. Eternal life. This is the record. God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who hath not the Son has no life. Listen, the cross is God's guarantee that all who accept Christ will live forever. Amen? When you come to Christ, you become a member of God's eternal family, God's forever family. And when you leave this life, it's just a matter of a simple stepping through a veil, and you go instantly and effortlessly. There's no long, cold period of soul sleep in the grave. You aren't even going to know you died when you do, as a believer. You're going to step through the veil, and you're going to find yourself on the planet Earth, and if you spend on the planet Heaven, because it is a planet, amen, we'll talk about that more some other time, amen. And you're going to realize, if you spent your life as a believer worrying about death, you're going to realize what a waste of time it was. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:10. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1:23, he said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ. For to depart and be with Christ is not just better, but far better. The cross guarantees eternal life. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why he said, I glory in the cross. It reveals the severity of sin, but the goodness of God. The cross reveals the love of God. The cross is the only way, the only way, the only way to salvation. And the cross also means that you're a new creation in Christ. If Christ is your Savior, you'll never be the same. And the cross guarantees eternal life. Are you a believer in the cross tonight? Are you a child of God? Amen. You know, Jesus said in John 8:24, he said, if you believe not, you will die in your sins. The cross is the core of Christianity. Amen. And we can't let the devil come in and push that away in the name of unity. Amen. And I'm impressed to say at this point that the Global Day of Prayer, folks, you need to know, it's a Catholic organization. I'm not putting Catholics down. I was raised a Catholic. Amen. But I don't believe that Mary's the co-redeemer. And I grew up in the Church of Our Lady of the Most Presumptuous Assumption. I grew up believing in Mary, amen? But Mary's not the co-redeemer. Jesus is the only way to God. And it's just a little red flag. You need to know the Global Day of Prayer is a Catholic event. And for some reason, they just don't want you to know that. Amen? And now, the Pope is doing everything. He made an announcement just today. He wants to do everything he can for Catholics to become unified with Muslims. Hooey! How's that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not opposed to praying with Catholics. Amen? As long as it's according to the precious, holy, written word of God. Amen? Glory be to God. Listen, it's just wonderful. If Christ died to save us when we were His enemies, how much more will He do for us now that we're family? Let's stand up and worship the Lord. Father, we thank You for Your precious, holy, written word of God. Father, we pray, God, godly sorrow for Bill Hybel and Rick Warren and all this mess and all these pastors, God, who are getting involved in occult practices. We pray that godly sorrow would come to the leadership of InterVarsity Christian Leadership, Campus Crusade for Christ, YWAM, Youth with a Mission, Father, the glory of God on Cape Cod, the Global Day of Prayer, all these people who are letting transformation, contemplative spirituality, interspirituality seep in and destroy and poison, Father. Father, we ask that You would enlighten and illuminate the spiritual eyes and ears of their understanding and cause them to realize their hope of their true calling. Father, we pray for the body of Christ that their eyes would be enlightened and illuminated. In Jesus' name, to these doctrines of demons, these seducing spirits, God, that have come to destroy, Father. Lord, it's just all indication that revival is at hand. The devil's attempting to do everything he can do to keep up with the escalating move of God, but it's not going to be good enough because You've appointed apostles and prophets and pastors, evangelists and teachers to stand up and speak out. To stand up and speak out for the blood. Stand up and speak out for the cross. And that's what we've done here tonight, Father. And we thank You, Father, for the utterance that You gave me, the understanding that You gave us, the revelation, then You'll give us even more. Well, this is just the tip of the iceberg, Father. We give You praise and we give You glory, Father. You've promised to keep us from deception, and that's exactly what You're doing. Thank You, Lord. Just worship God. Thank You, Father God. Thank You, Father God. Bro, segi pirata, segi perigeste. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for specifically for these people involved in the movement called the Glory of God on Cape Cod. Father, that thing needs to be dismantled. It needs to be disassembled, Father. It needs to be torn down and built up all over again. Father, we ask You in the name of Jesus that You would appoint spiritual leaders, God, ministry offices over a ministerial fellowship here on Cape Cod. And when You do, Father, we'll hook up with that move that's of You. In the name of Jesus, Lord, this evangelical ministers fellowship on Cape Cod, Lord, they need the gift of repentance. And we ask that You would grant the strife in that organization, infighting, Father. It's just time for it to go. Satan, we rebuke you in Jesus' name. The rulers of the darkness of this present evil world, every demonic principality and power assigned to the leadership on Cape Cod, we rebuke you, cease and desist in Jesus' strong, strong name.